And I want to make it clear, my friend, that anyone who tries to use the Bible to teach a message that the Bible supports slavery is shame on them.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message, which aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant tackled a difficult passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul gives divine counsel to both believing slaves and masters, common divisions in the society in Paul's day. But in his message entitled, The Spirit-Filled Revolution, Pastor Grant showed how, when it comes to social issues that the Bible addresses from the perspective of the times, many people have it all wrong. We heard Pastor Grant start to develop his theme of how a Spirit-Filled Revolution that dramatically affects society can occur when Spirit-Filled Christians live out the Word of God in their daily lives, and how such a Spirit-Filled Revolution first impacts the home by strengthening and preserving marriage. This evening, Pastor Grant will pick up the thread of his message entitled, The Spirit-Filled Revolution, as he brings this stirring and timely message to its conclusion. We invite you to have your Bibles at hand to follow along. We also want to remind our listeners that this message, along with all of our broadcast messages, are available for viewing in video at our church website, www.tcafamilychurch.org. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
I got it from while I was in the airplane. A spirit filled, because I couldn't make no sense of this passage. I didn't see what I was going to preach on. And the Lord reminded me of that story. And he said, preach on a spirit filled revolution. And that's what we need. GCA needs a spirit filled revolution. Where we stop playing church, we stop coming and leaving and doing whatever we want to do. But we have made a decision, whether you're single or you're married, you make a decision that I am going to commit my life. I'm going to consecrate. I'm going to dedicate my life to God, and I'm going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But listen. This spirit-filled revolution in the home impacts the children. Put this down. It protects and develops children of honor. Oh, I told you before that in a Roman father, in the day when this was written, a Roman father, if they brought him his child, listen, if he didn't pick up that child was abandoned, they could even kill that child. That's how precarious a child's life was. Daddy had to make a decision. Do I really want this kid? I want you to get the idea of the revolution, of the spirit-filled revolution. Against that backdrop, God is now saying to men, listen, you better take care of that boy. Look at it, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. He says, and you fathers. There's a reason why God pinpointed the fathers, because the fathers were a major part of the problem in Roman society, because the fathers were the ones likely to want to abandon the child. And in our society, who is the one most likely to abandon the child? Thank you, ladies. I was hoping you fathers would have shouted, "Wee Smith!" But thank you, ladies. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. I hope some of you weren't here. I wish you'd get that series. I do believe it's an important enough series. I don't like to promote my own tapes. But I am going to promote 5 messages, the secrets to a happy home. One message was just about parenting. And if you get nothing else, get the tape on parenting. You need to listen to the tape on parenting, as well as how to love your wife as well. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, I tell you, what a difference this made in a Roman household, in a Christian household. When daddy starts saying, I'm going to take care of my child. I'm going to raise my child. I'm going to nurture my child. I'm going to discipline my child. I'm going to do whatever it takes to raise a child of honor. But listen, there was a revolution in the home. But our text talks about a revolution that was needed in the workplace. You see, during the early church, there were more than 6 million slaves in the Roman Empire. Slavery was so common, it was accepted by everyone. That is, if you were not a slave. But God's message to the church began a quiet revolution. You see, the reason that many who are not Christians miss God's message and teaching about slavery is that everyone wonders, why didn't God authorize a political revolution? But God started a revolution, a spirit-filled revolution. He started a quiet revolution. Turn to Philemon for a minute. Philemon. You say, is there such a book in the Bible? It actually is. You got to go back to Hebrews. And if you come back one book before Hebrews, there's a little book that only has one chapter. It's called Philemon. And as I've heard some of my American brothers say, Philemon, okay? But whether it's Philemon or Philemon or whatever you want to call it, I'm going to call it Philemon. Amen? I got to give you a little background here about Philemon, because here's this book. Paul is writing to Philemon. You see, Philemon is a slave owner. He's a slave master, and he has a slave by the name of Onesimus. And Philemon had become a Christian, and he still had these slaves. And Onesimus escaped. He ran away, and while he was on the run, Onesimus comes in contact with the Apostle Paul, and he becomes a Christian. And now that he's a Christian, the Spirit of God convicts him to go back to his master. Onesimus is now on the way back to his master. You got the picture. Onesimus is going back to his master, Philemon. Paul sends him with a letter, because Paul knows without a letter, things might not go so well. And listen to what the letter says, because in this letter, you will get the heart of the spirit-filled revolution. Turn with me, if you would, Philemon. I'm going to pick up at verse number 8. Therefore, Paul says to Philemon, therefore, though I might be bold in Christ to command you, after all, I am an apostle, and I could command you about what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my, listen to these terms, for my what? My son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. What a term of endearment. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus the slave, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart. Now, isn't that an expression? Paul says, he is my own heart. I am sending him back that you may receive. Verse 13. Whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains. Verse 4, but without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be compulsory, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps, listen good now, here we go. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave. A what? A beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He says, listen, I want you to recognize that although under the Roman system, you were supposed to be so much better than he is your brother in the flesh. He's not just your Christian brother. He is your brother in the flesh. You are all equal. You're no better than he is. And you need to receive him as a brother. Beloved. You better believe that type of teaching is revolutionary. But let's come to our text in Ephesians chapter 6. Because in our text, God does not call for political revolution. And I want to make it clear, my friend, that anyone who tries to use the Bible to teach a message that the Bible supports slavery is shame on them. And it is a tragedy that in our history there have been so many who have been tried to use the Bible to suggest that any one race of people, any one group of people is better than the next. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Let me quickly share with you three important things from this text this morning. Number one, write this down in your notes. God treats all social classes with impartiality. God treats all social classes with impartiality. Verse number 9, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Can you imagine how a verse like that was revolutionary? Have you sensed the revolutionary concept of that verse? For a Christian slave master was being told that God had no higher regard for him than he had for his slaves. Did you see that? God is saying, big deal, you are the slave master. There is no big deal about you. I'm impartial. So where has a master had a legal authority to kill a rebellious slave? Of course, they usually didn't do that because they would lose the slave's labor, but he could. Paul is saying that a Christian slave master should not even threaten the slave. Did you see that in the verse? That is amazing. Not only is he bringing out the idea, hey, you, there's impartiality and you're no better than the slave as far as God is concerned, but he says, even though you have the right to abuse him and to kill him, he says, don't you even dare threaten him.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
And he goes even further in verse 8. He says, listen, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. So the fact that you are free and you're the master, you better do good to your slaves. What type of slavery would result? Can you imagine the type of slavery where the slave master realizes he's no better? He's just equal with the slave, where the slave master treats the slave well, where the slave master doesn't threaten. Can you imagine the revolutionary concept in God's message that God is actually bringing change in a quiet revolution, a spirit-filled revolution? Now, God can use us too to speak to power. In fact, slavery in the British Empire, in case you didn't know, slavery in the British Empire ended primarily because of two Christian men, one by the name of William Wilberforce, the other was by the name of John Newton, who was his pastor. And John Newton, some of you know, anybody remembers who's John Newton? John Newton was the guy who wrote the Amazing Grace. John Newton was the slave ship captain who, after God changed him and started his work of grace on him, he ends up becoming a pastor. He ends up becoming identified with Wilberforce, who knew the King of England, and working in Parliament and in other places, they made it clear, and they were able to get the entire British Empire to recognize the evil of slavery, and slavery was abolished in the entire British Empire before it was abolished here, primarily because of the work of two Christian men. And we all know the work of Dr. Martin Luther King, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, to bring about racial justice in our own country. Listen, God is not limited by his ways of bringing change. But here's the driving force behind my message this morning. The driving force is that one of God's primary ways of bringing social change is through a spirit-filled revolution, where Christians start living out God's word. Amen. You know, there are some practical implications of this text for us today. Because sometimes, you know, every now and then, some of you may be business owners, some of you may be supervisors, you're the boss man or the boss lady. You get more than everybody else. You know, you're the one getting the six-figure paycheck, and the others, you know, they get the dregs, you know. And sometimes if we're not careful, we figure, I'm all that. You just look in the mirror. I'm so fine. You know, I have some clients that every time they come to see me, they bring huge manuals, you know, of all their stuff, and because they have tracked every penny all along, and they just, and one guy says every day he goes through and he just adds up the numbers because he just feels so good to just look at the numbers and recognize how much money he has. By the way, he's a believer in Jesus Christ. But that's not the way God wants us to be, you know. God doesn't want the money and the material stuff to get a hold of us. And no matter who you are at work, God wants you to realize that you ain't no better than the lowest paid person at that job. God says there is no partiality with him. He's not impressed by your education. And so perhaps there's a supervisor here who needs to realize you need to behave better with your co-workers. Stop threatening. Stop chatting. Do you know what I can do to you? Okay, what can you do? What can you do other? Well, don't back chat them now. Because no, he comes to the slave too. But we want to make it clear that we understand none of us are better than anybody else. And listen, we all put on our pants the same way. Amen. But you know, there's another message in that before I move on. Because I do meet Christians sometimes that thanks to the vestiges of slavery, thanks to the vestiges of how you were raised, thanks to all the abuse that has been poured out at you, that you don't think you're very much. Do you realize that some people really believe that other people are better than them? That's the problem. Because God wants you to know nobody is better than you. Now, some people may behave more righteously, but they ain't better. You have as much access to God. Right now, you may not be a Christian. Right now, you can say to God, God, I don't want to live the way I am living. I want you to come and save me. I want you to come and change me. Nobody is better than you. And listen, if you're here this morning and you've been carrying all that baggage, it's time to let it go. Because you are somebody. God says you are somebody special. And particularly when you come to know him, he makes you his masterpiece. Amen. So the first thing we want to see from our text, God treats all social classes with impartiality. Secondly, God regards our jobs as parts of our service to him. Look there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 5. Listen, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. Don't go back chat the man because, oh, he's a Christian, he go to GCA. I can do whatever I want to because we're in the same. You better not do that. Give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. And so he says to the slave, he says, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Verse number 8, not with eye service, verse 6, as men please us, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Boy, I hope we'll realize that. God wants us to realize that our job, when we are working, whatever your hands find to do, never forget you're serving God. Amen? This is why verse 6 said, don't do it with eye service. You know, sometimes you've met somebody that whenever the boss man or the boss lady is nearby, they're working hard. But as soon as the boss lady in there, they hardly work. Oh, I pass by, see folks, they have all this big chatting going on. No, if the boss man wants to join in and have a chat with you, that's all right. Then where I used to work, that's where I still work, I'll sometime have a chat. Well, if everybody wants to stop working to chat with me, that's all right, because I'm the one started the chat, right? But listen, my point is, let us recognize, I heard somebody say amen from the front bench here. But listen, if the man is paying you, the lady is paying you, do the job. There ain't no time to be watching the news. There ain't no time to be playing card games on the computer. There ain't no time to be goofing off. God is so practical. You see, the problem is, sometimes the only way that people know that we are Christians is because we say we are. If you're one of them who goof off, can I ask you a favor? If you're one of them lazy people who don't do the work, can I ask you a favor? Don't tell nobody you come to GCA. Because the best testimony we can give is by how we work. A good day's work is one of the best testimonies that any Christian can give. So may God help us to work hard. Listen, because point number 3, God will reward us for our diligence at work. Knowing verse number 8, that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. So don't sweat if somebody stole your idea and got all the credit. That happens all the while. Don't sweat if the boss doesn't appreciate all you're doing. Don't sweat. Listen, you're doing it as unto the Lord. And listen, when we get that mindset, we can keep going because we know God is well pleased in what I'm doing. The boss lady ain't happy, but my Jesus is happy, and he will reward me. And I tell you, his rewards are better than any gold watch they're going to give you. Amen. The spirit-filled revolution at home, the spirit-filled revolution in the workplace, and finally, the spirit-filled revolution in our personal life. You see, God wants to use us to bring a revolution in our homes and in our workplaces, but the revolution must first begin in your personal life. Paul had first-hand experience of this revolution, because some of you remember his history. His name was Saul, and he hated Christians. He was persecuting the church. He had letters to kill Christians and do all sorts of harm to them. But one day he met Jesus. Amen. He met Jesus, and his life was never the same again. Well, I think I heard a choir sing that this morning. I still remember the day he saved me. And Paul never forgot the day he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and God changed his life. And that day he was born again. That day the Spirit of God came to live inside of him. Are you born again? You see, if you're not born again, you cannot be spirit-filled, because you can only be spirit-filled if the Spirit of God lives in you. Amen? You see, being born again is the beginning. But the real action starts. Come with me. The real action starts when I allow the Spirit of God not just to be in me, but to fill me. I wrote in your notes, the key for us to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit is a deep desire and hunger to be totally controlled
by God. Did you see that? Is that in your notes? Did you notice totally is in all caps? Totally is in all caps. To be totally controlled by God. That's what God wants. God wants us. He wants you. He wants me to have a desire, a deep desire, a hunger. God, I am not satisfied just being a Christian. God, I want you to totally control me. It's not a one-shot deal, you know. It's going to be a day-by-day experience where every morning, every hour of the day, God, I'm yours. God, I surrender all. God, I want your power to be manifested in my life. God, I want you to use me to be part of this revolution in my home, revolution in my neighborhood, revolution at work. God, I want to be part of this spirit-filled revolution. This morning, I surrender all. Is that your desire?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.